Hello and welcome back to Multitudes. Multitudes is a place where we have a variety of guests who share their passions, complexities, stories, as well as tools and modalities that have helped them navigate their life. And I'm your host, Nicole Carter, and I am so happy that you are tuning in today. We have a really wonderful episode for you today. We are talking all about the world of bibliotherapy, and I'm particularly excited about sharing this conversation with you as this was a listener-requested topic, and in this conversation, I learned so much about how literature can be a powerful tool for healing and self-discovery. And we have an amazing guest to discuss bibliotherapy. Bijal Shah is a book curator, bibliotherapist, freelance journalist, author, and poet. And we discuss how books can be more than just stories. They can be keys to understanding ourselves and our world. And we talk about how the connection between reader and text can give you clues to help you reflect, heal, and grow. And this is part one of my conversation with Bijal. And as always, I hope you enjoy and take what resonates with you. And please check out Multitudes at multitudespodcast.com, where I have a lot of information there about Multitudes, past guests, and also on Instagram. I would love for you to connect with me there. And with that, let's get started with Bijal. I have to say, I'm quite the novice about bibliotherapy. And so I would love to know, and just to start off with, like, what is bibliotherapy?
Yeah, I know. Thank you for the question. So bibliotherapy is the use of literature as a therapeutic tool. And it comes from the Latin words, biblio and therapia, which essentially means books and therapy. It's something that's actually been around for like the last 2,000 years, ever since the Stoics and Stoicism, but it's very little known despite a history of therapeutic reading and despite its use in the world wars as well. One of the things that I'm trying to do with my own practice, so book therapy, is spread awareness of bibliotherapy and bring all the history and the research and the studies to mainstream culture. So like I mentioned, there's a history of bibliotherapy from like the Stoics to Montaigne to Wordsworth to Eliot to its use in the world wars, and then to lots and lots of research studies, you know, even in the late 90s and ongoing right now. So that's kind of like my goal. So like just bringing it back to the definition, bibliotherapy, the use of literature as a therapeutic tool. And it's, you know, it's a form, I'd say it's a subset of art therapy, and it focuses on leveraging the power of stories to heal. And I guess if I was going to use the definition that we use at book therapy, I'd say that its power lies in the relationship that's formed between the reader and the writing, and the reflection of the thoughts or feelings, observations, and lessons that the writing provokes through a daily journaling practice or a counseling session with a mental health professional or a bibliotherapist or librarian. That is how I would define bibliotherapy. And then we can obviously go into into more detail of how we actually apply that.
I love that, leveraging the power of stories to heal. I had no idea that there was such a historical context or a historical background for bibliotherapy, the world wars and the Stoics. I would love to know if there are any myths or is there anything that bibliotherapy is not?
Yeah, sure. So it's very much, I think, embedded in the use of words. And it's often seen as an adjunct to many therapies or talking therapies. So it kind of overlays itself on, it's a combination of talk therapy and either using reading or writing. And I'd say that the activities of reading and writing are key. So anything outside of those two activities would not qualify as bibliotherapy. And a lot of my techniques that I use focus solely on reading, writing, and discussion. So anything outside of those activities would not qualify as bibliotherapy.
It's like the three ideas of like reading, writing, and the discussion around the reading and the writing. And can you tell us what happens in a bibliotherapy session? Like, how does that go?
Yeah, sure. Getting a little bit into the detail. One of the things that's really important in any sort of bibliotherapy process is the connection that we feel with the writing or the author or the book. And so that connection is vital for this process to even begin. It's like akin to a therapist. You have to feel a connection with the therapist, otherwise you're not going to go and see that therapist again. So that book selection part is really important. So I'd be suggesting, you know, a book or two that you read, and we would be using that book as a prompt for journaling that you would do, or for discussion off the back of what you've journaled and your reflections and thoughts. And in order to select that book, I would get you to complete a questionnaire in advance to understand your preferences for books, sort of what genres do you like to read, what type of writing you like, what kind of authors you've enjoyed in the past, because it's really important to me that, you know, you feel connected to the writing or the author, or there's some sort of clue that you are going to read this book and that it's going to have an effect on you, because we want that the literature to be able to prompt your unconscious mind to give you the thoughts that we need to bring forward to then discuss in counseling or therapy. So that's a key part. And of course, things like, do you prefer paperback or Kindle or audio? All of those aspects are really important in terms of whether you're actually going to be using the book as a tool. And if they're not sort of aligned with your reading values, then you know, you're just not going to use it. So that's really, really important. So we would do that in advance of the session. And then I would curate a list of 7 to 8 books, which I would introduce you to them in the first session, and I'd find out a little bit more about what you'd like to address as well. So that would be part of the initial questionnaire. Is there a current situation or theme that you'd like to look into in more detail? And of course, the books chosen, not only would they be aligned with the genres that you like to read, but of course, they would have to explore the themes. So say if you said to me you're really anxious, you know, I'd suggest some books in that space. Say if you told me I only like to read fiction, I don't like nonfiction, then of course I would go out and find you some books. Say if you told me like young adult, I'd find you a young adult book that explores anxiety or with a protagonist that perhaps has that as a key part of their character. And then I would suggest these books to you in the bibliotherapy session. And then you'd maybe pick one or two, and then I would get you to do some journaling either in the session or outside of the session and share those with me. And then we would talk about them in the following session and so on and so forth. And then I would perhaps suggest further bibliotherapy techniques as we proceed with the therapy sessions. And that could be things like letter writing, writing to the character, or the character writing back to you, or poetry therapy, writing a poem or off the back of your reflections, or reflective practice, which is a little bit different to journaling. I mean, I talk about all of these things in more detail in my book that's coming out in February, but we use a whole host of writing techniques as well as the reading, which are essentially helping you leverage your reading to prompt discussion, to prompt the expression of emotions that you may be holding back on, or that, you know, your defenses are so high. We're trying to get those defenses relaxed through the literature. We want you to feel safe to explore your issues so that there's no judgment. Yeah, all of those things are kind of what we're trying to do in that session. And often readers find it safer to explore their issues through a character than directly with a talk therapist. It's just one of those things that it's easier to talk about your issues through somebody. That whole thing about I'm asking for a friend kind of thing.
Yeah.
That is essentially how a bibliotherapy session works, but I've just kind of condensed it.
Yeah, that's a really great overview. And I love the idea of getting into the specifics of like not only the genre, but like do you like paperback or do you like hardcover? And when you recommend those set of books, are you checking in with the patient in terms of like that connection that people feel with the book? Like, I'm feeling this or I'm not feeling this.
Yeah. So they'll, they might say, I was so surprised that I really connected with this character. And then that led me to this memory that I had with my mom or my dad or my grandparent. And then, I might talk about, I wonder what that memory means to you. If it could be about something that you lost or like a loss that you experienced at the time, we'd start talking about that loss. We'd be bringing in elements of talk therapy and we would dig a little bit deeper into why you might be feeling that way. What's the underlying emotion? Is there a sadness that you felt when that memory kind of just flashed by? Because what we want to do is also sort of identify the emotion or label the emotion that you were feeling, because a lot of the times we're trying to release emotions that are stuck or that you've been unable to talk about or express. So it's identifying that emotion and then being able to sit with it and feel that pain. And it's interesting to some of the connections that we make. I was really drawn to this character because they reminded me of my grandmother, or I was really drawn to this character, or this character really irritated me. And I actually felt really angry. And it's starting to give us clues about maybe you just felt really angry about, maybe you're projecting your anger onto this character. And that could lead to some sort of transference going on between you and the character. Does that make sense? Maybe you felt really angry at yourself for something that happened. We really are sort of using the stories and the characters as reflections of what might be going on in your own inner world and trying to draw meaning from a lot of the discussion.
It's also that idea of when someone in your real life is annoying you or frustrating you, and this is more about you than like the person. So I see that kind of being connected to you having a response to a character. And I'm curious about like this idea of like characters and storylines. Do you find in your practice if there's anything that like has like a stronger pull? Like, is it the characters, is it the stories, or it just depends?
It depends. I mean, there's always a character or protagonist. If it's novel or memoir, there's always a character that's kind of embedded in that story, and it's the identification that you feel with that character or that story that character's sort of going through. If it's something like poetry, then you might be more, the immediacy of emotions is quite noticeable. So you'd immediately connect with the theme of, I don't know, like the Robert Frost poem of when there's two roads and the path less taken, you might be sort of contemplating the choices that you've made in life and that's bringing it back to you. So in that case, you're not really working through a character, but you're kind of working through the context of what that poem is about and how you sort of reflect on that and what meaning you draw from that. But if you're working with a novel or a memoir or even an essay collection, it generally tends to be the identification that you feel with a character. Or it could be a setting. It could be something that reminds you of your childhood and you might be feeling nostalgic about that. And, we might explore the nostalgia and if there is anything else going on there, if there's this underlying sadness or a need that wasn't met during that time. I guess it's a little bit like working with your unconscious mind, but it's not working with your rational mind, right? When it comes to therapy, we do have to go a little bit deeper into symbolism and trying to pull out what meanings you assign to things, which generally happens in your unconscious mind. And the literature is very much a gateway to that, almost giving you a little bit of a unspoken language through symbols, because if it was that straightforward, you probably wouldn't have needed therapy because you would have made sense of it all. Rationally or logically. So essentially that's what we're doing, trying to access the unconscious mind through the storytelling elements that the literature is kind of reflecting back to you.
And I'm curious about any stages of the process of going through bibliotherapy or any approaches that might be helpful to know about, any structure around bibliotherapy.
Yeah, sure. No, it's a great question. In essence, there are four stages experienced in bibliotherapy. Prior to that, there's some pillars that we also consider, you know, the safety elements and the trust elements. So the first stage, I'd say, is connection, connecting with the writing or connecting with a character or feeling that sense of being drawn to something and wanting to explore it more and then being able to engage with it. And for that to happen, you've got to be able to trust the author and you've got to be able to feel safe. So sometimes if things are too triggering, then maybe we won't work with them. But of course, we also want some triggering literature because that's where the work is happening. Those are where the clues are. But it's really the first stage is connection. And then the second stage is really identification. So you're being able to relate to the character, the protagonist, or otherwise the story, as you briefly mentioned previously. So it's that identification has to happen, that relation back to yourself, because that's where then the work starts to happen. And that's where the book is essentially acting as a therapist, reflecting things back at you. And then the third stage is catharsis. So, okay, so you've connected with the character, you've been able to empathize with them. And in that process of empathy, you are actually connecting probably with your own emotions and you're probably empathizing with yourself, even though you feel like you're empathizing with the character. There's an element of connecting back to the emotion that you're feeling. And that is relieving because now you're able to label your emotion and say, I'm feeling this, and you're expressing it. And that's where the catharsis is happening. So that's the third stage. The fourth stage leads to insight. Like, what have you learned about yourself, or what self-awareness have you gained about yourself through this process? And what's your takeaway? Like, often it could be a coping strategy or just a newer perspective on things, or something now that you've processed a painful emotion, or being able to give a label to something that's given you the suffering awareness and you now feel a little bit of closure on the situation. So that's the fourth stage, insight. So I'd say, you know, connection, identification, catharsis, and insight are the four stages. And I think that is quite draws parallels with the traditional psychotherapy process as well.
Yeah, no, that's super helpful to go through those stages. And I think it's really interesting because I never thought about trusting the author. Like, I think maybe when I'm reading like a nonfiction book, I'm kind of like maybe looking for their credentials, but yeah, kind of like almost like a subconscious like way of relating to a book and like trusting that it can reveal things for you as well.
Exactly. You know, there's some authors that we just won't connect with, and that's okay. And that's not going to be the book for us for bibliotherapy, you know? And then there's some authors whose writing style we love and we feel like they just understand our world, or, you know, we're aligned. There's some authors that do. The way they write, we can just easily relate to it,
yeah,
or connect with them. And those are the authors that are probably the ones whose books are going to be helpful for us.
Love to talk a little bit about your new book, Bibliotherapy, The Healing Power of Reading. If you could tell us about why you decided to write this book.
So I've been running my bibliotherapy practice for 5 years now, 5.5 years. And it surprises me that people are just not, you know, they just haven't come across this, even though there's a history and there's research studies. And I really felt that I wanted to raise awareness of it a little bit more. And I felt like the only way to really do that was to write a book about it, because there's a lot to be told and there's a lot to understand before you can even begin bibliotherapy, because I think you kind of need to understand what it is, how it works, before you might be willing to even give it a go. And I didn't want to make it like a dry self-help book, because that's not what it is. It's divided into three sections. And the first section's, like I mentioned, talking about the therapeutic the history of therapeutic reading and what bibliotherapy is, like I've just spoken about. But then I also talk about the stories of my clients and the books that have helped them and how we've seen their transformation through literature and, you know, literally talking about this therapy sessions from like day one and what books I suggested for them and what conversations we had and what techniques they use. It's a little bit like memoir, that section, because it's very much a narrative storytelling element to it rather than a like dry case studies, because I really wanted to people to engage with the book and find it interesting and feel that they're present in the therapy sessions with me, because then they can really get a feel for it. So that's what the middle section focuses on. And then the last section, I wanted, a lot of my clients ask me, so how do you actually go about selecting the books? And I talk a little bit about it here, you know, through the questionnaire responses, but I talk about how the book selection process works and how I actually curate the literature. And then also I have these reading lists, an A to Z of reading lists arranged by mental health themes. So ranging from like anxiety or depression or imposter syndrome or insomnia or midlife or stress or menopause or career changes. So I really like giving people reading lists for each of those themes, and they cover fiction, nonfiction, and poetry so that there's something for everyone. Most people think, oh, bibliotherapy, literature is therapy. Do you mean self-help books? And no, I mean everything. Fiction, nonfiction, poetry. It really depends on what you as a reader connect with and what your preferences are. So I don't want to pigeonhole bibliotherapy, falling it under into one, a process that can only happen with one genre. It encompasses all the genres. Yeah, so that's what I do in the final section of the book. And this is why I'm hoping that the book will be quite valuable for people, because they'll be able to administer a little bit of self-bibliotherapy using the reading lists, using the techniques that they can do at home as well, like literary journaling and all of that.
That's a wonderful resource. That sounds like it's stories, it's about the practice, and it's about providing resources for people to understand bibliotherapy and how they can start working with bibliotherapy at home. So that's really exciting. And I'm also like curious about, if there are any stories either in the book or currently top of mind that you want to share about either in your practice or a particular book?
I try to cover a range of themes using different client stories. So some stories focus on motherhood or our sexuality or a career change or couples therapy. I guess in the couples one, there's a couple trying to rekindle their romance, and there's like a list of literary questions that they can ask each other that I set out in the book to get them more aligned and also introduce a bit of novelty in their relationship about things they didn't know about each other through these literary questions. I talk about some of the books that I suggest. I suggest some fiction, but I also suggest the Four Love Languages book by Gary Chapman, which is just a wonderful book on relationships. Again, it's very aligned to what my clients liked at the time. There's a cancer patient, and I talk about Paul Kalanithi's book, When Breath Becomes Air. I don't know if you've come across it. It's a memoir.
Yeah.
It's beautifully written, and it's so real, the writing and his experience, and this cancer patient could really relate to that. So I try and talk about a range of stuff. One of the questions, one of my clients wanted a representation of asexuality in fantasy fiction. So there's a couple of book recommendations on that. So it's very varied, because I wanted to show like how all kinds of storytelling can be valuable. And I think it's enriched with different types of books and literature and the mentions of reading material that I'm hoping that book lovers will get really excited about, because there's such a range and there's such a diversity, because diversity was really important to me as well, to embrace all cultures within the books, that there's something for everyone, whether that's gender, whether that's, you know, sexual orientation, whether that's ethnicity, just everything. Yes, I hope that the book will resonate with a variety of people from all walks of life.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's conversation on Multitudes with Bijul Shah, book curator, bibliotherapist, freelance journalist, author, and poet. And you can find the link to Bijul's new book in the show notes, and it's available now for purchase. That's Bibliotherapy, The Healing Power of Reading. And thanks so much for listening to Multitudes. Multitudes is a podcast produced and created by yours truly, Nicole Carter. And I'd love if you followed on Instagram and if you would be so kind to write a review. Leaving a review helps Multitudes grow, and it's super easy to do from your phone if you go to multitudespodcast.com. And that's all for today. There's more to come with Bijul Shah in part 2. And in the meantime, happy reading and happy listening.